Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From WNYC in New York, this is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. All this week on the show, we're looking back at the year in music. We've spent the past 2 days digging through the archives, listening to some of our favorite live performances from the Soundcheck studio in 2012. If you missed it, that part of our year-end coverage is online. You can download or stream our two-part live performance special on soundcheck.org. But now it's time to focus on something else that we did online, our 2012 music survey. Rather than have you create a top 10 list, I mean, after all, anyone can do that, we're asking critics and you, our listeners, to weigh in on 8 categories. Favorite album, favorite song, no surprises there, but also favorite new artist or band. And then the questions get a little more interesting. Biggest musical surprise of the year, biggest musical disappointment, most memorable concert. And then we ask, what's a musical trend you noticed this year? And finally, a chance to vent some spleen. Worst music you heard in 2012, album, song, or whatever. So later this week, we're going to hear from some of our favorite music critics and from our listeners. But today, we're going to get answers to these survey questions from 3 members of the Soundcheck bullpen, the regular gang of contributors that we welcomed to the show starting in September when we debuted in our new evening time slot. You'll hear from hip-hop journalist Soumya Krishnamurthy and from Ann Litt of public radio station KCRW in L.A. But first up, Joe Levy, the editor of Billboard magazine. Joe, welcome back.
Good to be here.
So, 2012, big year. Can you sum it up for us in 2 words?
2 words. Wow. I'm not usually that true. I think I can do it. Frank Ocean. They must don't care. A million, 1 million, 2. 100 more will never do. Many bottles of this wine we can't pronounce. Too many bowls of that green, no Lucky Charms. The maids come around too much. Parents ain't around enough. Too many joy rides in daddy's Jaguar. Too many white lies and white lines. Super rich kids with nothing but loose ends. Super rich kids with nothing but fake friends. Real love. I'm searching for a real love. Frank Ocean from the album called Channel Orange. So, Joe, our first question on the survey, favorite album of the year? This does it for you? Yeah, somewhat surprisingly, because there were records that I liked more when I first heard them. You know, the Pink record, which is a great pop record, the Fiona Apple record, which is a great arty record, even the Twin Shadow record, which is my nostalgia record of the year because it's such an 80s synth pop record. And then there are other records that I played more. The Leonard Cohen record was a record I played a lot, just for fun. The Sword record was a record I played because it's a metal record I don't use. But this record, this one, it made me keep coming back to it. It became a very demanding record. It's not one I understood right away. It's not one I heard right away. It's a record that demanded to be heard as an album, at least for me. It didn't really work on shuffle play. It didn't work in the background. I had to concentrate on it. And then once I did, I loved it.
Well, he's topping a lot of year-end lists. He got 6 Grammy nominations. Could be up for a very big night come Grammy night in February. But it was also a big year for him as a kind of figure in pop culture, wasn't it? So remind us of the story here.
Well, the story is on the eve of the release of this record, Frank Ocean posted the liner notes from the record to his Tumblr. And the liner notes are about an unrequited love affair with a man. A lot of people treated it as though he was coming out. But what he clearly said was that his sexuality was something different
He didn't say it was one thing or another. And there are love songs and unrequited love songs on this record that could be about men or women. But it's part of what created the context for this record. And what interests me about this record is that it really does create its own context, musically, emotionally, and then socially, because Frank Ocean's Tumblr announcement was hailed in hip-hop circles as something brave that people got behind. People like Beyonce, who he had worked with, people like the Odd Future crew, the hip-hop crew out of L.A. that he's part of. And this is a change in hip-hop, which is not traditionally open to anything but straight masculinity.
Right. Now, he has been a little bit of a divisive figure as well. You know, some of our listeners have been filling out these music surveys. Issa from Brooklyn, answering the question, what was the worst music of 2012, said, Frank Ocean. Too overblown, distracts from other talents in the business. I hated how he used his sexuality as a PR stunt to gain more sales for his album. Amin, who listens to us in Tehran, in Iran, used Frank Ocean as the answer to yet another question. Biggest musical surprise of 2012. Amin writes, I've noticed some R&B artists in the past year, and I thought, maybe I can find an album that topped my expectations, but when I saw a 9.5 Pitchfork rating for this album, it blew my mind. Pitchfork on a scale of 0 to 10, you hardly, I mean, Kanye West famously got a 10 for, you know, like a year or so ago. 9.5, also kind of a real unheard of
a lofty
rating.
Grade,
yes,
although yeah. this got lofty reviews from virtually everyone, lofty yeah. grades from those who give out grades. It's topping many best of lists. It's sort of a given as the album of the year. And I almost wanted to pick something else just because I thought, let's be a little different. But
well, now Joe Levy, editor of Billboard magazine, part of our Soundcheck bullpen, regular contributors. You can see all of his answers to our end of the year survey on our website, soundcheck.org. And you did come up with some surprises. I mean, favorite album? Yeah. All right. So Frank Ocean is getting a lot of love from a lot of people in a lot of places. When we come to favorite song, Childish Gambino.
I just went with one that I loved from the moment that I heard it, and I kept returning to it, and it kept surprising me. Part of what I liked about this is that it came out of nowhere. It just turned up online one day, which, of course, is one of the stories of this year and the last few years. And the Frank Ocean album, of course, touches on the social media events of the year as well with his Tumblr post. But Childish Gambino, one day he put up a link on his Twitter to a song. I downloaded it. I played it. You know, this is a guy who is a comedian, Donald Glover, and an actor.
He's
been taken to task by the hip-hop police for not being a real rapper, for being too funny, for indulging in punchline rap. And this is a song without many punchlines.
Yeah.
It's very honest. It's emotional. It's conversational. His family is one of his great topics. He talks about his brother. He talks about his mother and father, his great-grandfather who bought his own freedom and a peanut farm. But the context in which he talks about his mom and dad, it just blew my mind.
Yeah.
He's talking about this night where he's hanging out with Questlove and everybody's tipsy. And Quest says, wow, Whitney, can't we even make it past 50? And then he says, I sent a text message to my mom and dad.
Mm.
And it's just like, wow, because your mom and dad did make it past 50. It's just a beautiful moment.
It's Childish Gambino and the song We Ain't Them.
What you feel is real, and never let these white people tell you how to feel. Never let anybody tell you how to feel. I wanted what they had back in the fourth grade. Family vacays, you know I did it all. Just to see my little sis by a waterfall. My great-granddad bought his own freedom. Walked barefoot to Virginia to start his own peanut farm. So don't be alarmed, man, I'm royalty. Jam of the week, V103. No cosign, no bovine. More swag, pull back on the punchlines. Starving, every track means lunchtime.
That is Childish Gambino, a.k.a. Donald Glover, and We Ain't Them. Just a short bit of it, because as wonderful as the story may be, it is full of language.
there's some profanity in there. That's true.
We're looking at the year in review and getting a lot of answers on Soundcheck for the rest of the week to our online music survey. Joe Levy, the editor of Billboard magazine. So we've done favorite album, favorite song, and both have already sort of led you to talk about the question of the musical trend that you noticed this year, which is social media, right?
Yeah, this is not a revelation. What's interesting that social media has become important in breaking bands, become important in the music industry. What's interesting to me is how many different kind of phenomenon, unrelated breakouts there were that came from social media. Frank Ocean is one. Psy is another.
Right, Gangnam Style. Yeah.
Yep. One Direction have a whole social media backstory. You know, their song wasn't on radio. They rallied the fans with social media. They became a touring act before they'd even put a record out. They were huge before they even got here. And then, of course, there's a minor event in 2012, Call Me Maybe.
Right.
You know, I mean, and these, Psy and Carly Rae Jepsen, these were defining songs, whether you liked them or not. Although I do, and I think a lot of people do. Mm-hmm. These were defining songs, both of them birthed on YouTube, circulated through Twitter. It's not as though broadcast media, radio and television, had nothing to do with their ubiquity or their rise, but it was the case that radio programmers and TV bookers were catching up with what mm-hmm. they were seeing on YouTube and Twitter.
So, I mean, the social media thing has been building for many years, obviously. Do you see 2012 as kind of a tipping point?
Particularly because I think what we saw was organic and engineered uses of it. One Direction, I mentioned, that's something that was engineered by Sony Records. And if they understand it now, well, this won't be the last time we see them using it. On the other hand, Psy, Carly Rae Jepsen, quasi-engineered. And Frank Ocean, a little more organic, despite one of your listeners saying that the sexuality seemed like
a calculated
PR stunt. I would say that this actually was something different and mm-hmm. brave.
So One Direction, an example of sort of an engineered social media phenomenon, and also your answer to our question, worst music of the year. For that very reason, perhaps?
No, and I think worst is a little bit of an exaggeration here.
Yeah.
I don't hate this. I really don't. In fact, there are songs of theirs that I understand. I just don't enjoy them. I uh-huh. get it. And I'm a poptimist by nature. Generally speaking, when it's at the top of the charts, I like to celebrate it. I want to get involved. I want to feel it. I want to take a little bit of a dip in that ocean. And every time I tried to get in, I was like, this feels a little cold. I can't really get in past the toes here. And it was tough to understand until we did a One Direction cover story. And one of the songwriters, who's a guy who was involved in the first single on the first record and the first single on the second record, Live While We're Young and What Makes You Beautiful, he basically said what we wanted to do was make very, very vanilla boy band guilty pleasure music. And they shared our vision. And I thought, oh, and I kind of don't.
Mission accomplished.
Hand fits in mine like it's made just for me. But bear this in mind, it was meant to be. And I'm joining up the dots with the freckles on your cheeks. And it all makes sense to me. I know you've never loved the crinkles by your eyes when you smile. You've never loved your stomach or your thighs, the dimples in your back at the bottom of your spine, but I'll love them endlessly. I won't let these little things slip out of my mouth, but if I do, it's you, oh, it's you they add up to.
The band One Direction and their song Little Things, and Joe Levy's answer to our question of the worst music he heard. I don't think that's too strong a word.
I just got to say the whole thing leaves me cold.
Yeah.
It's okay. Not like I get all mad at that song when I hear it, but boy, I don't like it that much.
No. All right, so let's go back to some of the more positive parts of our year-end music survey. We asked for your favorite newcomer, new artist, new band. And you picked?
I picked Death Grips, partly because I like the record a lot, Money Store, the record that they put out with Epic Records, but partly because the whole thing just amazed and amused me so much. Here's one of the strangest major label signings of all time, if not the very strangest. This is a group of anti-capitalist ravers. The Money Store is specifically, it's an anti-capitalist concept album, basically, that Epic Records signed and released? Mm-hmm. How odd. And then if you flash forward only a few months, the band is sticking to their announced plan. They, as far as they say, everyone knew, the record company knew, we make all of our work available on BitTorrent, including the next record we made for Epic Records.
Right.
Which, by the way, we were talking about language before. I caution you, if you download this record, try to get it with the safe for... I'd work the rest of your life cover, because there is some full frontal nudity on the cover of this album. They literally flipped their record company, The Bird.
Yeah. And, you know, when you say BitTorrent, of course, that means free, downloadable.
Everywhere. They put their very next record up online for free, and within weeks were dropped by Epic Records.
So this is the band Death Grips, and just a little bit of a song called Lil Boy.
Burn through it, burn through it. I'm not taking turns till it turns to it. You know we burn through it, burn through it. We ain't taking turns till it turns to it. Coughing up a sirens, I'm firing. Crocodile, lips off your smile. Quit that bitch, it looks suspicious. Who that's good and they got my dangers?
The Sacramento-based band called Death Grips and Lil Boy from Joe Levy's year-end music survey. You can answer the same 8 questions that Joe and all the rest of our cast this week are answering. The survey's on our website, soundcheck.org, and we'll be occasionally turning to some of our listeners for their answers to these same questions. Favorite newcomer for Joe was this band, Death Grips. They're on my year-end survey under a different answer, most memorable concert, because as interesting as their story is, Joe, I kind of felt like I wished I liked the music more until I saw them live.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. One of the most intense.
It's a take no prisoners show.
Absolutely. So anyway, that's Death Grips. How about the biggest disappointment, musical disappointment of 2012?
You know, what made my survey is just something I've been thinking about a lot because it happened recently or was announced recently, the breakup of Das Racist.
Yeah.
The rap trio who, for me, did so much to open up my mind. You know, a year or two ago, my iPod was not clogged with new hip-hop. And now it is. And part of the reason is the last few years of listening to their records and listening to other underground records that are self-released, but also just the way in which they opened up a kind of hip-hop discourse for smart, funny guys who are interested in their college courses. I mean, I hate to make it sound like less exciting than in fact it is when they're rhyming, but they'll keep doing it on their own. They've put out a bunch of solo mixtapes already. Mm-hmm. And yet that dream of a hermeneutically focused Run DMC, you know, something that I've wanted since I was listening to Run DMC and learning what the word hermeneutics meant, which was happening around the same time in
what
the
80s. What does it mean?
Oh, you know, let's just call it the study of knowledge.
Yeah. All right. Well, this is the song that first brought knowledge of Das Racist to our ears back in 2008.
Taco Bell, Pizza Hut, Taco Bell, combination Pizza Hut and Taco
wait,
Bell.
Wait, I'm at the Pizza Hut.
What?
I'm at the Taco Bell.
What?
I'm at the combination Pizza Hut and Taco Bell. Wait a minute, I've got that taco smell, that pescado smell. I got a lot of smells. I rolled a lot of L's.
I'm at that Pizza Hut.
Okay.
I got that pizza gut.
Yeah.
I got that pizza butt.
No.
I'm at the Pizza Hut.
Nah.
And at the Taco Bell.
Yeah.
I'm at
Hut and Taco Bell.
Taco Bell.
Combination Pizza Hut and Taco Bell.
Pizza Hut.
Combination Pizza Hut and Taco Bell.
Combination Pizza Hut and Taco Bell was the first shot across the bow from Das Racist some years ago. And, Joe, they had a couple of years, but I kind of agree with you. I kind of feel like there was more to be said, you know, this kind of funny and much later very literate kind of rapping from...
Very literate, very much about identity in hip-hop, about racial identity, about class, about all these things that, frankly, people don't talk that much about.
Yeah.
And very, as you heard in that song, very funny dudes.
Yeah, yeah. From my old neighborhood in Queens. So that's Das Racist announcing that they're breaking up this year. And to the question, major disappointment in music this year, that was Joe Levy's answer. Biggest surprise?
Yeah, for me, it was that the Miguel album was actually better than that one great song.
Is that Adorn?
Adorn.
Yeah.
What a great song. How did I leave that out for favorite song of the year? Because, you know, I did want to pick something everybody else wasn't picking. What a great song. And I played the record, and at first I thought, it's a bit of a disappointment. Hmm. It's not as good as that track. And then this was one that did sneak up on me on shuffle play. Every once in a while, another song would come on, and I thought, I'll sit down and listen to the whole record. Some good songs on there.
Yeah. Not a surprise to our producer, Greta Cohn. It's her album of the year. You can check out all of our survey answers on our website, soundcheck.org. All right, so I mentioned, you know, with Death Grips, that was, you know, my answer for most memorable concert. Your answer for most memorable concert?
I just picked a small one that blew my mind. I saw Wussy and Low Cut Connie at the Mercury Lounge earlier this year.
You've mentioned Low Cut Connie on the show
before. Low Cut Connie I had seen several times before. Wussy I had never been to see before. This is a Cincinnati band led by, in part, by a guy named Chuck Cleaver, who used to be in a 90s indie rock band called the Ass Ponies. And in fact, they've been together for 10 years. They're playing a music that's really 10 years older than that. I know they're great songwriters. I just thought, I'm going to go see an indie rock band. They're going to play indie rock. I was unprepared for the level of guitar mysticism or showmanship. This was a really funny group.
Mm-hmm.
Dry Midwestern humor coming to the stage in New York. People who spent way too much time in a van together. They know how to play off each other, both when they're talking on stage and when they are playing guitar. It was just, it blew my mind.
I would hope with a name like Wussy that they would have a bit of a sense of humor.
Indeed.
So let's hear a little bit from the band's 2012 best of album, Buckeye. The song is Asteroids. Fun stuff, Asteroids, from the band Wussy out of Cincinnati. Joe Levy's most memorable concert experience of 2012. Joe is the editor of Billboard magazine and a regular on Soundcheck. All of his answers to our 2012 music survey, along with our answers and other listener answers, are on our website at soundcheck.org. Check it out. Fill out the survey yourself. You may find yourself part of our program later this week as we continue taking our look back at the year that was. Joe, you're the editor of Billboard. What are you looking ahead to in 2013?
Wow, 2013. Of course, the Cher album. I actually am kind of interested to
really?
See what she'll come up with. It should be intriguing. I want to see what happens next in this wave of indie hip-hop and R&B. That Frank Ocean and Miguel are part of.
Mm-hmm.
These are artists who I think really have played by their own rules. They've been embraced critically, but they've also made huge waves commercially. And it feels like things are up for grabs and shifting, and the artists are calling the shots, and that's an exciting moment.
Yeah. All right. Well, Joe, it's been a pleasure having you with us this year as a part of our Soundcheck bullpen, and happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you.
A little bit from Miguel, the song Adorn. This is Soundcheck.